Welcome back to Human Emotion. So we've talked a lot about emotions in infancy and adolescence, but what about the other part of the continuum in our lifespan? What happens to emotions as we age and grow older, like this man here in the picture or this group of friends? Do we grow into happier older people or more miserly, forlorn, and depressed people as we reach the very end of our life? So here's a quote that I really like when we think about aging and think about the way that we respond to it emotionally. So Rabbi Joshua Liebman said, "I often feel that death is not the enemy of life, but its friend, for it is the knowledge that our years are limited, which makes them so precious." So today we're going to conclude with our third series on emotion development by looking at aging and asking ourselves, is older really happier, or can you be older and happier? And we'll do this going through the following roadmap. We'll start with one of the most pivotal theories in this area, referred to as the socio-emotional selectivity theory. Then we'll follow with some empirical evidence on emotion-related changes in aging. And then we'll conclude with our takeaway questions and expert interview. So let's start first with one of the most groundbreaking theories that's informed how we think about the development of our emotional self and identity as we age, the socio-emotional selectivity theory, or SST theory. So this is a theory that was put forth predominantly by Dr. Laura Carstensen from Stanford University, along with colleagues Derek Zakowitz and Susan Charles. So nothing is more familiar and scary than human aging, they would argue. Yet exactly how does the perception of time passing as humans and the relationship to our really time-limited existence on this planet influence our emotions? So Carstensen and colleagues argue that the approach of endings, including our life, is associated with a heightened emphasis on feelings and emotion states. So they would argue that we really ought to take time seriously. And in particular, in her theory, the SST theory, she said that humans are uniquely able to monitor time, both consciously and subconsciously. She says that we set these our emotional goals within these temporal contexts. We're always thinking about how we want to feel and how we should feel with an idea of what time frame we're in. So when we think of aging and older adults, she's found that older adults actually become more selective about social networks. So they spend more time with individuals with whom they have rewarding relationships. They also spend more time pursuing emotional satisfaction. So as we near the end of our lives, our emotional goals shift. We become more selective socially, and we try to spend our time more preferentially on things that are going to bring meaning and satisfaction. And so you can think of emotional goals along two different kinds of categories. One is perhaps focusing on the present, so living in the moment, knowing what's important, investing in sure things, deepening your relationships, and really trying to savor life. This is contrasted with a different kind of temporal focus, which is more about preparing for the future, expanding your horizons, acquiring knowledge, meeting new people, and taking challenges. So do we focus more on the present as we age, or do we focus more on preparing for the future? Well, Carstensen and colleagues would actually argue that as we age, it's indeed associated with more of a focus on the present, right? And the activities that are unpleasant are often not compelling to spend your time on when you're nearing the end of your lifespan. And interest in novel information, because it's so closely intertwined with future needs, becomes reduced. And instead, when endings are primed, people focus on the present over the future. This leads indeed then to different values people place on emotion, as well as life more generally. So how would this change the kinds of emotions that we're going to experience as we age and we can become more focused on the present more than ever before? So here are some of the core postulates of the SST theory. First, the perception of time is going to influence our social and emotional goals. Second, our goals are going to influence then how we process information. And third, then pursuing emotional goals is going to be good for our emotion regulation. So then how do emotions exactly change as we grow older? So here we're going to turn to the empirical evidence on emotion and aging to really answer this question of how and when do our emotions change as we grow older. So let's turn to emotion and aging. This has been a really interesting topic and gained a lot of widespread media attention. So we see articles like this in Time saying, "With age comes happiness," right? So they say, "Wisdom may come with age, but does happiness follow suit? Some studies show that the elderly may be prone to depression and loneliness, which can lead to higher rates of unhappiness. Not a surprise, But, dot, 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 increasing more and more, studies suggest that happiness may actually rise after middle age. So where is the data for this? Well, you can see additional outlets like the New York Times also talking about this really exciting empirical evidence that happiness may actually come with age. And finally, in the BBC, there's headlines such as people get happier as they age. Most people get happier as they grow older, studies on people aged up to their mid-90s suggest. So what is going on here? In what ways and why can becoming older actually make us happier? So I've broken this up into three categories that can help answer this question of how becoming older may actually lead to increased happiness. And the three domains here are as follows. We'll go through them each. So we see an increased experience of positive emotion, increased attention to positive stimuli, and increased ability to actually regulate our emotions, right? So this is work that's been largely carried out by Dr. Laura Carstensen, where she's looked at volunteers ranging in age from 18 all the way into the mid-90s. To come and take part in various experiments, as well as keep diaries of their emotional states. So let's go through first, starting with this empirical evidence that actually suggests that as we get older, we experience more positive emotions rather than less. And here's one of the landmark studies that was done by Carstensen and colleagues, titled Emotional Experience Improves with Age, evidence based on over 10 years of experience sampling. So here they use an experience sampling procedure, measuring emotions 5 times a day for approximately 1 week, and they repeated it again 5 years and 10 years later. So let me show you what this looked like. So participants came into the lab, they completed an experience sampling protocol where they measured emotion in their daily lives 5 times a day. They reported both positive and negative emotion for over the course of a week. Then they were brought back 5 years later and again 10 years later. And here, what they did is they conducted really sophisticated statistical analyses, both cross-sectional as well as growth curve modeling, which indicated that aging was associated with increased positive emotion overall, as well as that they found additionally greater emotional well-being. So in people's everyday life, emotion experience actually does seem to increase with age, both cross-sectionally comparing adults of different ages, as well as following individuals across their own lifespan 5 and 10 years later. And here you can see a graph from her paper where she maps positive emotional experience with increased numbers here reflecting greater positive emotion experience, and here's looking at age 20 all the way over down to 90. And as you can see here, we see this increased rise in positive emotional experience across the lifespan. Okay, so we see increased experience of positive emotion. What about the way people visually process or take in emotional information from the world around them? Do individuals who are older actually see the world through rosy-colored glasses? Do they become, in other words, older and rosier? So this is really interesting work that's looked at attentional biases. And here, if you see this graph here, what you find is that when researchers have compared younger to older adults, they find an increased attentional bias. So people's sort of visual attention is more drawn towards or captured by positive faces compared to negative faces. So you see this effect pronounced in older adults and younger adults, with the positive face bias score significantly greater than the positive bias score in yellow compared to younger adults. So we also see that older adults actually attend away from negative faces as well compared to younger adults. So their attention is drawn towards positive stimuli and drawn away from negative stimuli in older adults compared to younger adults. We also see additional work by Derek Zakowitz and colleagues, where they've recently compared two main methods of assessing how much people visually attend to and take in the world around them. To answer the question is there an age-related positivity effect in visual attention? So this including comparing what we refer to as eye tracking methodologies. So these are technologies used to continuously monitor the point of gaze in response to standard positive, negative, and neutral images, as well as you can see here, dot probe paradigms that enable researchers to even more directly assess potential biases and patterns of attentional distribution when they're presented, for example, on a computer screen with competing emotional faces that may be either positive or negative. And here, indeed, they find that there is suggestive results for what they've called this positivity effect in older adults. That is, older adults actually preferentially attend, that is, their eyes sort of orient towards positive visual information in the world around them. So in some ways, it seems that adults who are older not only experience more positive emotion, but they actually do sort of see the world through more positive, rosy-colored glasses. So now we're going to look at the idea of emotion regulation. Not only do older adults feel more positive, do they see the world in a more positive light, but they actually have an increased ability to harness or regulate their emotions. So when we talked about adolescents having no breaks, it seems as if older adults have supremely refined emotional breaks and have an increased ability to actually harness and regulate their emotions. So this is work done by James Gross, Laura Carstensen, Jeannie Tsai, and other colleagues looking at emotion and aging. And here, despite popular stereotypes that older people become less emotional, first, there's little evidence of that. And second, Gross and colleagues decided to systematically examine across several samples from geographically and ethnically distinct backgrounds, showing that compared with younger participants, older participants report fewer negative emotional experiences and greater emotional control. So indeed, we see that as adults age, they exhibit greater emotional control. And this has led Uri and Gross to develop a model that they've called the soccer model. So it's the selection, optimization, and compensation with emotion regulation model. So I want you to look at this graph carefully. I'm going to walk you through it. So they argue that older adults select and optimize emotion regulation processes that take advantage of resource gains and compensate for resource losses. Specifically, we see in this figure that older adults receive more encouragement from others to get involved in positive situations, represented by a larger oval size that you can see on the top right, because they have a smaller but closer social network. So this represents what they would call a resource gain in older age. And since older adults may also have less cognitive control, represented by a smaller oval, you would expect younger adults to use more cognitive reappraisal, indicated by a relatively larger oval on the bottom left-hand corner, compared to older adults. So this is a really interesting model that I highly encourage you to read more about that suggests in what ways older adults are really able to become more effective emotion regulators by really taking advantage of resource gains and compensating for potential resource losses, that is, cognitive decline that we see, you know, decrease over age. They make up for it by engaging in other kinds of situations that really capitalize on their, you know, intimate and really selectively tuned social networks. So in conclusion, we've seen this evidence for what's called the positivity effect when we think of emotion and aging, which is the effect that as humans get older, there is a relative preference for positive over negative information. So it's almost as if as we get older, we sort of tune ourselves towards positive information and sort of back away from negative emotional information. And if you're interested in this, I highly encourage you to watch this talk by Dr. Laura Carstensen called Older People Are Happier. She's a fantastic speaker and really reviews a lot of the evidence that we've discussed today for just how we can sort of reapproach the end of life, not think of it as a time of existential crisis and health-related difficulties and frustration, but actually as an opportunity to experience more positive emotion, cherish times with other people who we intimately value, and actually become wiser and happier as a result. So with that, I'll turn to our takeaway questions. The first question today asks, what is the socio-emotional selectivity theory and what are its central postulates? Second, what is the supportive evidence that we discussed today indicating that we may actually become happier as we grow older? And finally, how does emotion regulation change as we age or grow older? Now I'll turn to our expert interview. As part of our Experts in Emotion interview series, I have the pleasure today of speaking with Dr. Laura Carstensen on emotion and aging. Dr. Carstensen is a professor of psychology and the Fairleigh Dixon Junior Professor in Public Policy at Stanford University, where she's also the founding director of the Stanford Center on Longevity, which explores innovative ways to solve the problems of people over 50 and improve the well-being of people across all ages. She received her BS from the University of Rochester and PhD in clinical psychology from West Virginia University. Dr. Carstensen is best known in academia for the socio-emotional selectivity theory, a lifespan theory of motivation, and with her students and colleagues has published well over 125 articles on lifespan development. Her research has been supported by the National Institute on Aging for more than 20 years, and in 2011 she authored A Long Bright Future, Happiness, Health, and Financial Security in an Age of Increased Longevity. She is a fellow of the Association for Psychological Science, the American Psychological Association, and the Gerontological Society of America. She has chaired two studies for the National Academy of Sciences, resulting in The Aging Mind and When I'm 64. She's a member of the MacArthur Foundation's research on an aging society. Not surprisingly, Dr. Carstensen has won numerous awards, including a Guggenheim Fellowship and the Distinguished Career Award from the Gerontological Society of America. So I now turn to our Experts in Emotion interview with Dr. Laura Carstensen on emotion and aging.